Gather round, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day.
Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration, everybody. Glad you're with us. We are talking about the legal ins and outs in the Bill Cosby case on this show. The Iowa caucus up the ante in the presidential race, but is all of America excited about the political season? Village contributor Jim Scott is concerned about the black community's flagging enthusiasm. And as you know, we are less than 72 hours from Super Bowl Sunday, so stay with us for the show. We're going to talk Super Bowl with former NFLer Jay Barnett. But first, for months, the entire country has watched as dozens of women have come forward and accused Bill Cosby of drugging them and then having sex or inappropriate contact with them. Criminal charges were filed in Pennsylvania, and they rest on a deposition related to a civil case. New York attorney Dante Mills joins us to explain what is happening. Dante, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Love the show. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
I think a lot of Americans, African Americans in particular, are confused about the connection between the deposition and these criminal charges. Explain that to us, please.
Sure. When we're talking about the Bill Cosby case, there's a couple of different factors that goes into it and why the charges are just moving forward now. We're talking about an incident that happened in 2004. And what happened after 2004, the victim, Ms. Constand, came forward in 2005. At that time, there was a district attorney, Mr. Bruce Castor, and he negotiated a deal with Bill Cosby that he would not move forward with criminal charges. And he verbally gave that guarantee that Mr. Cosby would not face criminal charges on this matter. As a result of that, Bill Cosby moved forward, and instead of going forward on a criminal matter, he went forward on a civil matter. Now, the difference is, criminally, you can face criminal charges with the threat of either probation or parole or jail time. Civilly, it's all about compensation, monetary compensation. So when Mr. Cosby knew that he would not be charged criminally, he agreed to move forward and give a deposition in a civil case where Ms. Constand was seeking money because of what happened. That deposition went forward, and in that deposition, Mr. Cosby admitted to having contact with Ms. Constand, whatever contact that happened that is now being called inappropriate, he admitted that it happened, but said it was consensual. So we fast forward, and the district attorney who gave that guarantee, Mr. Castor, was running in an election against a district attorney now, Mr. Kevin Steele. In that election, Kevin Steele used as his political argument that attorney Mr. Castor was too lenient on some people, and he specifically used the Cosby case as an example. And he promised when he was running for district attorney that if he was voted in, he would charge Bill Cosby with sexual assault. Kevin Steele wins the election, he becomes a district attorney, and he moves forward with the charges and says, I'm going to use the deposition that Mr. Cosby gave against him in the criminal case. So yesterday in court, the purpose of going to court yesterday was to determine whether or not that verbal agreement that the former district attorney gave to Mr. Cosby that he would not bring criminal charges against him, whether or not that should stand, or if the new district attorney had the authority to override that. And the judge decided that the former district attorney did not have the power to grant that kind of immunity and just say to anyone, you will not be charged ever.
Mm-hmm.
So he threw that agreement out. And he said that the district attorney now has the right to move forward with criminal charges. And that's what leaves us today. Now, the deposition itself, there's another hearing on March 8th where they're going to discuss whether or not what was said in that deposition can be used in the criminal court against Bill Cosby. And there's arguments for that on both sides. I mean, some people say he only did that because he thought he wouldn't be charged criminally, so it's unfair to use it against him. Other people are going to argue that he said it. It's his testimony. So whatever the reason he said it was, it's an admission and it should be used.
It's difficult to have a conversation about the Bill Cosby case because there are so many factors involved. There is the history of the justice system's treatment of African American men. There is the superstar status of Bill Cosby. There are, on the other hand, dozens of women who are saying essentially the same story, but that factor of race is so prevalent in this situation with Bill Cosby that it makes it very difficult for the facts to have an honest review.
I agree with that to a certain extent. I agree with it, but I don't know if it's appropriate here. Race definitely plays a factor in a lot of what goes on in the criminal justice system. There's no question about it. But as a race, and even as a country, including everyone, do we want to be in a position where we say, this is one of our heroes, so you don't have the right to go after him? Do we want to disregard everything that all of these victims or potential victims are saying happened because we hold him in a certain regard? And how do you then compare that to, say, Governor Rick Snyder, who was aware of the water conditions in Flint, and then you say he's a governor, so we're not going to go after him because he's held in a high regard? Or the police officer who was recently found guilty of raping women, do you say he's a police officer, so we don't go after him? You know, you have to decide where you draw that line and where you say, I can't allow race matters to supersede decisions that someone make that affects other people's lives. So if there's enough women saying that Bill Cosby did this to me, he used sexual inappropriate contact, sexual assault against my consent, do we ignore that just because of what he's done for our community? Now, I think the second part of that is we then have to separate it. We have to say, mm-hmm. We understand that Bill Cosby has done phenomenal things for our community. He's provided tons of opportunity. He's provided someone that you can look to and say, he's achieved and so can I. But I also know that no man is perfect. So I'm not going to hinge my view of all of the good he did on the fact that he may have a character flaw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's going to be difficult to really prove whether or not these allegations are true, but I don't think if they are or not should take away from everything that he did. And the way they're doing it is punishing everybody. I mean, he set up college scholarship funds that are putting people through college, that are providing opportunities for people, and they're pulling those scholarships from schools. That makes no sense because it takes away from someone that needs it because he may have had a character flaw that we don't agree with. And it doesn't mean he's right or wrong. I'm just saying we have to limit how we glamorize people and how we include our vision of somebody being perfect because they're in the spotlight.
Well, you make a very good point about the equitable application of the law, which is one of the most consistent outcries in our community. Police
mm-hmm.
officers are allowed to mistreat African-American men and women, yet nothing happens to them. Meanwhile, we have quite vehemently defended, and when I say we, I mean the community as a whole has vehemently defended Bill Cosby because of his superstar status. You do realize what you're saying is blasphemous in a lot of circles.
I do. But until we recognize that separate is not equal, And we cannot be a walking contradiction where we say we want to be treated like everyone else except where it doesn't benefit us or except where it puts someone that we hold in high regard in jeopardy.
Because then we are just as guilty as the majority
community. No question
about
it. We can't expect fair treatment. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We can't expect that fair treatment if we don't want to be fair on the back end of it. Now, I'm not suggesting, you know, someone may argue, well, why does it have to start with us? But, you know, really that's a kindergarten game, and we're not looking at the situation for what it is, no matter where it starts at. If we want fair, if we want equal, we have to apply it all across the board.
So here we are all these years after that deposition. Does a prosecuting attorney have the authority to ever say, you won't face prosecution for a crime based on my word, not the law? We're not saying an expiration of the statute of limitations. We're saying a gentleman's agreement, if you will.
Well, if you listen to the judge in this case based on his decision yesterday, the answer, which is usually the answer in the law, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start by saying this. Clearly, Mr. Cosby's team in 2005 should have received that in writing. That should have been the first thing they requested or demanded. If we're going forward with this deal, if I'm going to make actions based off my reliance on you saying you will not criminally prosecute me, I want it in writing. That's the first thing that should have been done, and that would have changed the outcome of the hearing yesterday. But he didn't get it in writing, so we're talking about a verbal agreement. And when you don't have it in writing, it leaves more to the imagination of the mm-hmm. context it was said in, why it was said, what the basis of it was it really full immunity given? So you leave questions that a judge now has to follow behind and answer. And the judge determined that this district attorney did not have enough authority to grant blanket immunity. He was not in a position to say, you will never be charged in Pennsylvania ever mm-hmm. for this incident.
Mm-hmm.
So once the district attorney changed and the new district attorney came in, he had the right to say, there's some new evidence, which is the deposition transcript, and I'm going to use that now to prosecute you, even though it's 12 years later.
You know, I think what also fans the flames of the conversation that Mr. Cosby is not receiving fair treatment are the pictures we see of him going to and from court, and he does not look well.
There's two ways to view that. I cannot tell you Mr. Cosby's current health situation. I don't know that. I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen any medical reports or any of his latest scans or anything like that. But I can just put this out there. As an attorney, when you have clients, your job is to make sure that they are viewed in the best light possible. In Mr. Cosby's case, where he's facing a sexual assault claim that says he took control away from someone, it's beneficial to everyone else to see him in a situation where he's not in full control of himself. He's walking with a cane. He seems frail because in the back of your mind you're thinking, how can this guy in this state sexually assault someone? How can he overpower someone? And we know that it was a different time. It was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that image is what stays in your mind. And if you want an example of it, just go back to the Trayvon Martin case where George Zimmerman ate as much as possible and gained as much weight as possible. So during the trial, he looked flubby mm-hmm. and flabby.
Mm-hmm.
And like he couldn't, there's no way in the world that this chunky guy was going to overpower
a
Trayvon
17-year-old
Martin.
Kid.
But
who was
if you
strong.
Look at the mm-hmm. absolutely, but if you look at the pictures from George Zimmerman around the time of the incident, he was in great shape. He was cut. He loved working out, lifting weights. That's what he did. But when it came to the trial part, they presented a different picture. So when it comes back to Bill Cosby, is that a picture that we're being presented because his attorney, his trial team wants to show him as frail as possible so that we have that sympathy, so that we can't see him overpowering people? Or does he just have general health issues? I can't answer that question, but I can tell you that those are two viable explanations for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, this has been such a hot topic in our community, and it's divided friends and I don't want to say families, but it has certainly been a very divisive topic. Did Bill Cosby do this? Are these women making all of this up? And there are some who say there's no way. Dozens of women are telling the same story, and all of them are making this up. And now we have moved into the courtroom with one of the charges that started with a civil case and all of the back and forth. Did the prosecuting attorney have the authority to say, we will never prosecute you if you admit this, we'll never prosecute you? It is
not
over.
And that's something if you...
Go ahead, Dante.
That's something that when you move on past the whether or not they can move forward with this case, because, in fact, the judge has decided they can, and you move forward to whether or not this is something he can be found guilty on, it's a completely different question.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at his interaction with Ms. Constand in 2004. Now, there's other women, obviously, that's come forward. There's women that's retracted their statements. There's some that's going back and forth and changed your statement of things that happened. But the main issue that you have to have in your mind is that of temporary consent. It's something that it's a touchy subject and a very fine line to walk down when you have women that are in a situation and it may not turn out how they wanted it to. The experience, and we're talking about one of the most popular African-American figures of all time.
Ever.
And when we're talking about 10, 20 years ago, I mean, it was even at a higher level than now. So these are women that jockeyed for his attention because it's Bill Cosby. So it's not like he's just sitting in a coffee shop and just happens to see someone. This is somebody that jockeyed for his attention. He may have selected them, but if the outcome didn't turn out how they wanted it to, if they didn't get the satisfaction they were looking for, if the next day they started to regret their decision because maybe he didn't follow up with a phone call or something he said he was going to do he didn't do, do they have the right to then take back that consent that they gave because they regret it or because they think the game that I was playing didn't end the way that I wanted it to? That's the dicey situation that we have with all of these victims, quote-unquote, coming forward and saying, I participated in this night with Mr. Cosby, but at some point my right to reason became cloudy, and it didn't go how I wanted to.
Well, cloudy, they say, because they say he drugged them,
yeah,
and he admitted.
Absolutely.
And in that deposition, he did admit that he bought drugs to use them on women. That's key, a key part of that deposition. So in defense of all of these women, I just find it highly unlikely that all of them are making up the same story, especially against the backdrop of what he said in that deposition in 2005.
And that may be true.
And to your point, when we talk about he said, she said situations, sexual assault, that's what they are. He said... And then she said, but we also recognize that we live in a culture that very often forces women to be silent in the face of mistreatment.
Agreed, 100%. And I think that that's something that they're going to look at even in this case. You know, the facts of this case is about a year went by before Ms. Constand brought it up, and she actually brought it up when she went home to Canada. She didn't bring it up to the Pennsylvania police or anyone in the Philadelphia area until afterwards. And that may be because she saw his reach, and
sure.
She knew that he had a hold on the city, a hold on the state, and she didn't
hold
feel
on
comfortable
a
until she got, no question about it, and she didn't feel comfortable until she got back to her comfort zone of her home, where she knew that he wasn't present, his presence maybe wasn't as big, that she was able to come forward. Now, you have to balance that, though, with the fact that there were different occurrences or encounters where she was alone with him again, had different phone calls with him where she supposedly taped some of the phone calls in an attempt to get money. Those things come into play as well. But I don't want to at all, and I want to make this clear, I don't want to take away the fact that if Bill Cosby did this to women, it did put them in a position where you have to speak out against a very powerful person, and that's a tough thing to do.
It is. This case will continue regardless of what happens on March 8th. It seems to be one of those cases that most everyone has an opinion on, but you have the expertise to discuss it from a legal perspective, and we appreciate it. Dante Mills joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back, so stay with us.
Glenn?
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
And keep Arkansas beautiful.
Alberta Faye Hires got her life back thanks to the Arkansas Tobacco Quit Line.
I smoked for 37 years, but with the support of my quit coach, I finally overcame my addiction. The Quit Line helped me set my own goals and turned a few steps into thousands. Now I run marathons. I'm stronger, healthier, and a positive role model for my grandchildren. I'm proud to say that I'm a quitter. You deserve to be proud of yourself, too. When you quit tobacco, you win.
Quit smoking or vaping. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Live tobacco and nicotine free.
The 2016 presidential race claimed the nation's attention with Monday night's Iowa caucus. Now, days later, candidates are repositioning. Donald Trump, who lost to Ted Cruz, is accusing the Texas senator of cheating. The 2016 presidential race claimed the nation's attention with Monday night's Iowa caucus. Now, days later, candidates are repositioning. Donald Trump, who lost to Ted Cruz, is accusing the Texas senator of cheating, to which Cruz replies that the billionaire businessman is having another Trumper tantrum. Marco Rubio finished in third place and may actually emerge as the most victorious Republican heading into New Hampshire. As for neurosurgeon Ben Carson, money is drying up and he's cutting his staff.
I know we can create more good-paying jobs and raise incomes for hardworking Americans again. I know that we can finish the job of universal health care coverage for every single man, woman, and child.
On the Democratic side of the race, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders will face off tonight in a one-on-one debate, hoping to garner more votes in the days before the New Hampshire primary. The former Secretary of State just narrowly defeated Sanders in Iowa, and Sanders is considering asking for a recount. There were record numbers of voters who came out Monday night to caucus. On the Republican side, they set a record. And on the Democratic side, in terms of a close race, had not been one like that before. So let's talk more politics and voters. And joining us is our Village Celebration contributor, Jim Scott. Jim, how about the participation in Iowa?
Well, Vicki, I mean, it's a big deal. This may be one of the most important presidential contests in our lifetime coming up. But I caution, you'd never know it in some communities. Mm-hmm. And this is what's on my mind, and I have some things to say about it, because what I see and what I hear, I don't like.
Big change from 2008, 2012?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I think so.
We'll talk about it when we come back, so stay with us. You're listening to The Village Celebration.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
So what do girls fear more than their dads chaperoning at the homecoming dance? Having a date with bad breath, rotting teeth, and mouth sores. If you use dip, chew, or snuff, odds are you'll develop these symptoms. And that's only the beginning. Dip, chew, and snuff can cause heart disease, stroke, and cancer of the mouth and throat. So don't ruin your homecoming or your health. Learn more about a tobacco and nicotine-free life at sosprojectprevent.com.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay. This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf. Swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
We are less than 11 months from electing a new president in our country. Who's going to vote? In 2012, African Americans voted more than any other segment of the American population. Jim Scott, you think we're going to the polls in record numbers again this year?
Vicki, I certainly hope so, because it just hit me today. We have a few more than 250 days left until this 2016 presidential election, but I am worried. Now, not so much about who's going to be the nominee for each party, rather about what feels like the lack of excitement in our communities. The Democrats will almost assuredly field Hillary Clinton, and who knows about the Republicans. It appears that Donald Trump has the inside track, but I'm not so sure. Nevertheless, it's not about who, it's about us. Now, clearly I've not done any polling around the country, but I know what I see, and what I don't hear from people who were all fired up about the process 8 years ago, and again 4 years later. Back in 2008, before the first Obama election, there was excitement everywhere, and not just among the usual characters. There were people who had never participated getting involved. Black churches led the way in organizing and registering voters, and the hip-hop community stepped up in a big way. There were television announcements reminding us how important our votes would be, some even reinforcing how hard we fought to get the right to vote in this country. The messages then were loud and without apology, saying too many people paid too high a price for any of us to sit on the sidelines. So thousands answered the call, and everyone was talking about it. But I'm not hearing much in the way of talking about who we want to send to the White House this time. It's almost as if it's lost its importance. Remember the long lines of people voting, some first-timers and senior citizens braving the heat of the day to cast their votes? Well, since then, let me tell you what's been happening. Some of you are going back to sleep, and others act like voting won't make a difference. How misguided that thinking is, and I'm not sure where all of the energy of pre-Obama has gone, but I do know the enthusiasm to vote seems like it's been eroding. This while some states are trying to make it harder to vote. Listen, that message alone should be enough to energize us to continue the good fight, but it's not. Let me give you one quick example. I have a father-in-law who lives in the state of Indiana. He's in an apartment building consisting of mostly senior citizens. Their rents rates are subsidized based on their incomes, and they don't pay for utilities. It's a great place to live, and I've seen how everyone has so much pride in their surroundings. So on a recent election day, there was a heated race for city council seats. To make life easier, a polling place was on the first floor of their building. All of the residents had to do was to take an elevator ride down to vote or stop by on their way out. Easy, right? You'd think so. But out of the occupants of the building eligible to vote, and that was all of them, less than 30% bothered to exercise their rights. It could not have been any easier. Now, am I wrong to think that the perk of subsidized rent would be enough to get people to vote? Maybe to say thanks or to simply be angry about what's not happening in their community. Instead, many had the same old excuses, like my vote isn't going to matter anyway, or I didn't know who was running, so why bother? Or I didn't like the people who were running, and the excuses went on and on. The point was that everyone in the building knew the history of black folks and how voting was a hard-fought battle. But 70% of the residents just didn't care. To be fair, there's also a thinking that senior citizens are intimidated by the new electronic voting machines and won't ask for help. If that's the case, then we need to help. Even so, there's probably just a small number of them. That's why I'm worried as we come into this election season. I want us to get fired up again. I want to hear our young people talking about voting for the first time. I want the hip-hop community to re-engage, and I want the elderly to tell stories to anyone who will listen about what they went through to get the right to vote. And finally, I want those running for office to let us know and to show us how deeply they care about us and about the issues that affect us. Time is running out. I'm Jim Scott, and that's what I'm talking about.
And Jim, we look forward to hearing you talk more about the upcoming presidential election. Back in a moment with more of the Village Celebration Radio Show. We will have our Village Verse tonight from Pastor Cedric Jones of Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church in St. Louis.
Settling into your new job.
I like the company and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Alberta Faye Hires got her life back thanks to the Arkansas Tobacco Quit Line.
I smoked for 37 years, but with the support of my quit coach, I finally overcame my addiction. The Quit Line helped me set my own goals and turned a few steps into thousands. Now I run marathons. I'm stronger, healthier, and a positive role model for my grandchildren. I'm proud to say that I'm a quitter. You deserve to be proud of yourself, too. When you quit tobacco, you win.
Quit smoking or vaping. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Live tobacco and nicotine free.
Dynamic Dave for JoinEdRadio.com. I'm inviting all small businesses to contact me at 855-525-5683 and let JoinEd Radio set up an advertising package specifically designed with your business in mind. This is a great opportunity for small businesses to get your products on the air. Do you want to get the word out about a new business? JoinEd Radio is for you. Do you want to advertise your event or social gathering? JoinEd Radio is for you. Do you preach or teach? Do it right here on JoinEdRadio.com. Call me, Dynamic Dave, at 855-525-5683 or go to JoinEdRadio.com and review our great lineup of shows. Let's help each other and let's get your products in the hands of consumers across the country. Call me, Dynamic Dave, at JoinEdRadio.com at 855-525-5683. I'll talk to you soon.
To the Village Verse now, we are joined by Pastor Cedric Jones, who is from St. Louis, pastor at Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church, associate pastor, and we're so glad you're joining us, Pastor said. Take us to the Word tonight.
Okay, thank you for having me again. The Word that comes to my mind today is in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. It reads like this: the thief, these are Jesus' words, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And this word really blesses my heart mm-hmm. in what we're dealing with today and the pain, suffering. We're in this fast, you know, hurry-up world. We think things and people and places and things are going to satisfy us. Mm-hmm. But we have to think about why did Jesus come, and he came to give us not only eternal life, but quality life, mm-hmm. life to its fullest.
Mm-hmm. And your point.
And so I think, go ahead.
No. I was simply going to underscore what the word says, that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, lest we forget.
Absolutely. And we, you know, there's a lot going on. We got the elections, Black history. There's a lot going on, and people are very busy. But we have to stop and think. And any time we're too busy for God, we're too busy.
Amen.
And so when you think about the tactic of the enemy, the devil, and people that don't have the things of God at heart, you know, a thief comes to steal, and in that, there's an element of deception. Mm-hmm. You don't know somebody's taking from you. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in materialism. We get caught up in fame and fortune. But that's anything that takes you away from a meaningful and healthy relationship with Christ is stealing mm-hmm. your blessing, stealing your life, stealing what God has created us for. And it's a progression, stealing and then killing it, taking us away from that. And then ultimately to destroy us. Mm-hmm. But thank God for his purpose for our life. His purpose is to give life, not to take. He came to give us a life, and I believe that's eternal life, but not only duration of life or quantity of life, but quality of life, life as God knows it. And when we are connected with Christ, it doesn't matter what we encounter in this life. He says life more abundantly, or life to its fullest. And so when we have that healthy relationship with God through Christ, then life is worth living. It's meaningful. It's purposeful. It's a blessing. And mm-hmm. it's not contingent upon our fame, our fortune, mm-hmm. who we know, where we are, the mm-hmm. job, you know, all of that. It really is contingent upon our connectedness with Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful and such a great reminder. I like that you point out, per the word, that you can be distracted, and when that occurs, it is the enemy's scheme, kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
So all
Amen.
Of it is a good
Absolutely.
Reminder for us. Thank you so much, Pastor Said. We know that you have joined us at a time when your family is facing a crisis. We are lifting you all in prayer, and we appreciate you taking the time to speak to us and uplift us, and know that we are with you at this time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bless you.
And we'll be right back.
Have to play sports to be a champion. On or off the field, each day you dedicate time and effort to reach your personal goals and dreams. But tobacco use can ruin your hard work and path to higher achievement. If you use tobacco, make a play that brings you one step closer to victory and better health. Call the Arkansas Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW to speak with a quit counselor about free medication and support. It's time to feel like the champion you are.
did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
You love hunting season. You've camouflaged yourself to blend in with your surroundings, but you're still searching for the best place to hide. Even if it takes a lifetime, you won't give up until you take down your target. It's impressive, really, that mouth cancer displays such dedication. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did you think I was talking to you? No, I'm talking to the cancer-causing chemicals that damaged your mouth last year while you were dipping in your tree stand.
Ditch the dip. For help quitting, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW today.
Dynamic Dave for JoinEdRadio.com. I'm inviting all small businesses to contact me at 855-525-5683 and let JoinEd Radio set up an advertising package specifically designed with your business in mind. This is a great opportunity for small businesses to get your products on the air. Do you want to get the word out about a new business? JoinEd Radio is for you. Do you want to advertise your event or social gathering? JoinEd Radio is for you. Do you preach or teach? Do it right here on JoinEdRadio.com. Call me, Dynamic Dave, at 855-525-5683 or go to JoinEdRadio.com and review our great lineup of shows. Let's help each other and let's get your products in the hands of consumers across the country. Call me, Dynamic Dave, at JoinEdRadio.com at 855-525-5683. I'll talk to you soon.
You are listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show, and Dr. Diane Marshall is in the house. Dr. Dyke, glad to hear your voice again. Let's go back to this Zika virus.
Certainly.
Because this week, the CDC issued a more urgent warning.
Absolutely. Well, I think what happened is that the World Health Organization has really realized now that this has become an international emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And it stems from a case in Texas where apparently before we thought that, you know, you could get it just from mosquitoes and that if you're out of the country in one of the locations where we know the virus exists,
mm-hmm.
that you would get it there and that would be it. You'd get it from the mosquito. And so there's a case in Texas where it appears that the spread of the virus may have been a sexual spread. And that's alarming because now we're talking about another way
mm-hmm.
to get it or get other people infected.
It was quite surprising when I first heard that news because week before, it seemed pretty clear that it was transmitted only through a mosquito bite. And then this week, yet another method of transmission.
Right. Now, that still needs to be, I think, confirmed a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears that the person who has the Zika virus did not travel out of the country.
Right.
And that the only way she could have gotten it was that through her partner who had been out of the country in an area where the virus is known to be.
Well, that seems pretty obvious to me, but I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. So you all have to tell us when it is confirmed, if indeed that was the method of transmission. Shifting gears, let's talk about heart health because tomorrow is Go Red for Women.
Again, it's February already.
I cannot believe it.
You know, February is American Heart Month and Heart Health Month. And just last year, you were talking about going to dinner where I think Star Jones may have been the
exactly
speaker.
Great memory
because of her fight with heart disease. And so tomorrow is Go Red for Women Day.
So wear your red.
There you go. in any form that you can. You know, red indicates heart and heart health. So the cry is to wear your red wherever you are and then post it. And if you go to the American Heart Association, they can tell you the hashtag. I never remember a hashtag. But it may be go red, wear
maybe go red.
Mm-hmm. But you hashtag go red, wear red. And, you know, they'll pull up pictures of everyone who's sharing their story. But I want to emphasize that American Heart Health Month is for everybody. It's not just for women. But tomorrow is specifically Go Red for Women Day. And so that's what that campaign is about.
And just really quickly, a couple of the startling statistics regarding African-American women and heart disease. It's the number one killer?
Heart disease is the number one killer in men and women, and people take it lightly. And in particular, women. Remember, we touched on this a couple of weeks ago. The reason that we, as physicians, don't take it as serious, I'm not going to say we're not serious about it, but as serious, is because sometimes women come in with symptoms that mm-hmm. may not be the same as a man. For example, in men, they typically get more of the chest pain and the shortness of breath or that dull pressure feeling in the center of their chest. Mm-hmm. Women may not get these symptoms. They may present with shortness of breath or just fatigue really easily or maybe just pain in their neck. So we really need to be very cautious about the symptoms when we're talking about women. And we need to understand what the risk factors are. Mm-hmm. We've talked about those, you know, mm-hmm. an unhealthy lifestyle, like, for example, obesity, being sedentary, mm-hmm. Tobacco use, family history of heart disease. Those are things we need to all get to talk about. So when we're sitting around Thanksgiving dinner and eating all of this food, it's okay to do that once a year, mm-hmm. but we've got to combat heart disease with trying to eat healthy most days of the year, getting some exercise, and then doing the things that we know we can do to prevent it.
Mm-hmm. It's such a serious health matter. The number one killer of men and women
yes.
is heart disease.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tomorrow, wear
red. So
what
do we want to do about it?
Exercise. Eat better.
There you go.
And start with awareness.
There you go.
Wear red tomorrow.
That's right. That's right, Vicki.
Dr. Diane Marshall joining us as always. Thank you, Dr. Di.
It's always a joy.
Now, we just mentioned eating too much. Super Bowl is an excellent opportunity to overindulge. When we come back, we're talking about the big game on Sunday with Jay Barnett.
Recent studies have shown that diabetes can be prevented, and the results are even greater with my patients over age 60. Losing a small amount of weight by getting some physical activity, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier has proven to be effective. Listen to the great results from one of my patients.
I had to learn how to change my way of eating because diabetes ran in my family, and I wanted to take control of it before I got it.
Having diabetes in your family and being overweight puts you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes. These risks increase with age, which is why it is important to take your first step today.
There was a time I could not go from my basement up to my bedroom, but now I can, and that means a lot to me.
It's not too late to prevent diabetes. Join my patients who are taking small steps and gaining big rewards.
For more information on how to prevent type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
So what do girls fear more than their dads chaperoning at the homecoming dance? Having a date with bad breath, rotting teeth, and mouth sores. If you use dip, chew, or snuff, odds are you'll develop these symptoms. And that's only the beginning. Dip, chew, and snuff can cause heart disease, stroke, and cancer of the mouth and throat. So don't ruin your homecoming or your health. Learn more about a tobacco and nicotine-free life at sosprojectprevent.com.
You know, Maya, you're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and UAMS.
Do you have your chicken wings for the Super Bowl party on Sunday? What about your meatballs, your Subway sandwiches? Joining us to talk about the Super Bowl this Sunday is Jay Barnett, former NFL player and author. Let's talk football first, Jay, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I know you have a little cold, so we are really glad that you stepped away from the NyQuil for a little bit to talk football. Who's winning on Sunday?
I'm going to ride with the Panthers on Sunday.
Okay. Cam Newton and team.
Yeah, I mean, I got to ride with Cam. I think right now, they're playing exceptionally well all around, offense, moving the ball well. And they're so balanced. You know, they're able to run the ball and they're able to pass. And then on defense, they're not giving up much. So I'm not sure how Peyton's arm is going to hold up or how he's going to hold up in such a physical game, because it's going to be a very physical game. And I think overall it's going to be a good Super Bowl.
I think you're right. Now, you believe it's Peyton's last one?
I'm a little bit on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
That 50% chance that it could be, and then 50% chance that he probably could be a player coach next year, or, you know, a backup, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those guys are very high competitors. So, you know, if he wins,
right,
I think he'll walk away. But if he doesn't, I think he may give it one more shot.
Well, now, you played with the quarterback who just could not seem to let it go, Brett Favre at Green Bay. How many times did he retire?
Yeah.
Two or three? So we know sometimes it's hard for them to leave the stadium.
It's tough. I mean, you think about, those guys that are competing at a high level. And I think, you know, when you look at an athlete, or especially a professional athlete, competing at the highest level that you can compete, and all of a sudden you have to walk away from that and sort of walk into the next phase of life,
yes. You
sort of kind of, you know, it's almost like you get stuck. Because,
sure.
You know, you don't know how to transition because you're so used to playing under pressure. You're so used to a structured environment.
Mm-hmm.
You're used to a schedule. And all of a sudden, you know, you have to walk away from that, walk away from the camaraderie of your teammates and
mm-hmm.
the locker room. So it's very difficult to walk away from.
It has to be. One year you're playing in the stadium, and the next year you're watching from your living room.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's a tough transition.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I mean, I had an opportunity at Green Bay. You know, did what they brought me in to do, and all of a sudden, you know, they was getting ready to go a different direction for a guy that sort of fit their system at the time, and then I was playing arena football,
mm-hmm.
You know, for the next year and a half. So, you know, so many variables that, you know, plays a factor to, you know, you can get hurt. Or a team just see fit to go with a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of different things that are factors in you being on the other side of the game.
It's a tough job, but you have made an admirable transition. You work with Black Enterprise, and you have written several books. Tell us quickly about your association with Black Enterprise.
My association with Black Enterprise, I am an ambassador for the BE Modern Man Initiative. And what that initiative is that we're changing the perception and changing the way men of color are displayed and how they are depicted upon the media, television, and magazines. So I'm very humbled to be an ambassador, to be a voice, and also to be an example. And we have a motto that says, our extraordinary is our normal. Mm-hmm. And it's an initiative that is very much needed in such a world that they gravitate a lot to negative information and negative news. So for Black Enterprise to have me to be an ambassador is such a great opportunity to change the message of men of color.
And the message, as you pointed out, about men of color quite often is not a very positive one. So we wish you the very best with that initiative, and would like for you to come back and talk with us more about that work, about your book that has really been well received. And it's a book for young African Americans.
I've written 3 books, and the last book, Letters to a Young Queen, was received very well for teenage girls and young adult as well. And so it's been a book that I poured a lot of my soul, and I wanted to change the perception and also mm-hmm. change the perspective of young girls, especially in the African American community, because most of them, as you said earlier, they don't have a positive image or mm-hmm. a positive perspective on Black males.
Okay.
And many of them grow in single parent homes, and mm-hmm. they don't get a chance to see men in a positive light. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to change their trajectory and change their perception on that by writing a book and giving them a tool of literature to not only reiterate, but also to encourage them to continue to be queens, no matter mm-hmm. if they grew up in a single parent home, no matter if they never knew their father, but wanted to give them the opportunity to understand that their life will be decided and be defined by the choices that they make. But in making those choices, understand that you rule your territory as a queen, which is your mind, body, and soul.
I like that, and we have to talk more about it at a future date. So just you have a standing invitation in the village to come back and talk with us before we wrap
awesome.
It up tonight.
I appreciate it.
I love to talk about food. What's on your menu for Sunday Super Bowl game?
What's on my menu? Buffalo wings, of course.
Okay.
Southwest egg rolls
mm-hmm.
and some chocolate chip cookies.
That's my kind of party. Have a great time.
Yeah,
and you're saying the Panthers.
You have chocolate at a Super Bowl party.
You have to have chocolate. I'm going for brownies. So you're riding with Cam.
Exactly. I'm with the brownies too.
Have a great time this weekend. Take care of that cold and come
yeah,
back
absolutely.
And talk
Thank
to
you.
Us, okay? Jay Barnett, we appreciate you, and we appreciate you joining us tonight here for the Village Celebration Radio Show. Have a fantastic Super Bowl weekend. I'm Vicki Newton, and this is the Village Celebration Radio Show.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is